Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-T. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Oregon State earlier this week, Oregon State announced on social media that there would be no fans at Racer Stadium for Saturday's scrimmage. Within about 40 minutes, Oregon State and the rest of us got whiplash as government officials said, hold on, we're moving to a different classification in Benton County, and suddenly fans were going to be allowed at the scrimmage at Reser Stadium. Nick Daschle of the Oregonian, nobody better on Oregon State. He's the guy. Make sure you're following him on Twitter. Make sure you're reading him on Oregon Live, listening to him when he comes on to this radio show. Daschle, what the hell happened with no fans in Reser, fans in Reser? What was that like to cover for you?
I think somebody just jumped the gun on. I think the OHA had either put out some, there was just some wires crossed, I believe is what the case was, and somebody thought they needed to get the information out as quick as possible to Beaver fans. Why? I have no idea. It was Tuesday. It wasn't like people were getting in their car on Tuesday and saying, we're in the Reser Stadium. We're going to start tailgating on Tuesday. No, it was there was a miscommunication. A few people jumped the gun and it's all good. I think it was no harm, no foul.
Although, I would be impressed if somebody had a Winnebago in Racer Stadium parking lot on Tuesday night, ready for the scrimmage, and I wouldn't blame them for that. Are you excited about, seeing some football, seeing what Oregon State looks like?
Well, I will say, though, if you do tailgate, you'll get a nasty gram from somebody because there's no tailgating this weekend.
So, no tailgating. All right.
COVID still rules.
Rules.
Okay, what was your question?
What are you excited about seeing?
I want to see the defense dominate. I mean, I'm pretty certain this offense is going to operate just fine next fall. Whoever plays quarterback, it'll be okay. I think the running game's okay. The receivers, they got good receivers. The line, most of the line's back from last year. I don't really have a lot of concerns with the offense. But for this team to make the jump to, nearly a winning football team to going to a bowl, the defense is going to have to take the next step. And that's, produce some turnovers, get the team off the field on third down, put some heat on the quarterback and make a difference. I mean, it's really what it comes down to in 2021 is the defense ready to make the next step and be a difference maker. And I think there's reason to believe they can. We've got to see it come September.
Daschle, the quarterback position, you've got Tristan Jebbia, who ended his year with a surgery. You had Chance Nolan, who came in and, damn near won a Stanford game that would have been a really inspiring win for Oregon State. What's the stable of quarterbacks right now? Where does Sam Vidlek fall in that race as well?
I mean, my personal opinion right now is that Tristan Jebbia is the leader, but we won't really know anything until the first or second week of camp. I mean, I don't think he loses his place in line just because he hasn't been able to go this spring. As long as he comes back healthy, I think he's the front runner come August. Now, I think between Ben Gulbranson and Chance Nolan, if one of those two really has a big game tomorrow, a big performance, I think that's the person that has he gets the leg up going into the summer. As far as Sam Vidlek goes, I mean, I need to see him against the ones. I mean, it's one thing to look good against the third team or even the second team. I need to see him do it. He's really a high school senior. That's asking a lot from a guy that's, you know, really should be a high school senior right now. He has to learn the offense. He's all the things they ask of a quarterback. I think it's a long shot for Sam to be in the conversation for this fall. I'm not saying for down the road, but this fall, I think it's a long shot.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian covers Oregon State. The running back position post Jermar Jefferson, do they just reload there? Because we're hearing a lot of good things about the running backs.
I think they're in good shape there. I mean, part of it's because the offensive line returns intact. I mean, provided that, you know, Nathan Eldridge is okay come August and you know, the rest of the guys, they've been remarkably injury free the last couple of years. They pretty much rolled out the same offensive line the last 2 years, and they're real experienced. And BJ, it's between BJ Baylor and Deshaun Fenwick, and I think tomorrow goes quite a ways toward deciding who that guy's going to be. I mean, obviously the big decision comes in August, but I think one of the guys can take a step toward, you know, becoming the guy tomorrow if one of them really breaks out.
Daschle, mentioned the returners on the offensive line. That's huge. But everybody talks about defense when it comes to Oregon State taking a step forward. Thought they had some games last year where, especially in the opener, I kind of wondered had anything changed, and then they got better and frankly played really well in a couple of wins. What do you expect from the defensive unit this next season?
Yeah, I mean, I talked to Yogi Roth yesterday about the defense, and, you know, we were both talking about how, you know, numbers-wise, they weren't that bad last year. I mean, if you'd have said, you know, they held most of the teams on their schedule outside Arizona State to reasonable point totals and yardage figures. But the difference is they got to create some turnovers, because you cannot win games in the Pac-12 telling your offense you got to drive 80 yards five or six times a game and score touchdowns or field goals. I mean, you got to have some cheap touchdowns or cheap scores. And the defense has got to give you those opportunities. So that's a big thing. You know, they've talked a lot about playing faster this spring. We'll see how that goes tomorrow. They do look better on defense. They had this spring. I want to see some periods of domination tomorrow. I want to see the defense really, really control the offense, because I think that's a key thing for a winning football team is at least early in the, you know, in the spring and early in camp, to have your defense, you know, lead the way.
Daschle, I think that's strong. Were you surprised by the draft positions? Jermar Jefferson, Hamika Rashid, some other guys that maybe weren't drafted as high as where we thought they would go.
I was a little surprised on Rashid, although, you know, I think the numbers he put up as a junior, you know, I've heard he's got some holes in his game, especially against the run. Now, I don't know whether that's well-founded or not. And then last year did him no favors, but I was still surprised he didn't go somewhere, because rushing the passer is a big deal in the NFL. I didn't know where Jefferson was going to go, because I thought his combine 40 or his pro day 40 was probably going to be held against him a little bit. I think it was mid 4.5 something, which for a running back is probably a little on the pokey side. But I mean, his body of work says he's a good running back. So I thought he'd go somewhere. I didn't think he'd go that low, but you know, now it's up to him to take advantage of it. Wright was the one that was a little surprising. Although if you look at him, I mean, he's six four and he can cover. So I mean, those are skills that are coveted in the NFL. And, you know, maybe we overlooked that a little bit. But, you know, him going in the third round, I thought he might get drafted, but more like the sixth or seventh round.
Nick Daschle of the Oregonian is with us. Let's pivot to basketball, because Wayne Tinkle, the Oregon State men's program, they go to the Elite Eight. the natural question as we're sitting in Indy is, can they parlay this into a nice recruiting season, and can they come back better next year? What have you seen from Tinkle that maybe thinks that makes you think that they can do that?
Well, I think the roster looks at least as good, if not better, than for next year than it did this year. I mean, the losses they have really are just, you know, Ethan Thompson and Zach Reichel. They've got six guys committed for next year, and all of them have some asset that you can use. You know, whether it's Mariel from Maryland, the 7-footer who's got some range, and they just got a commitment from a 4-star small forward, which they need. A lot of these guys just have, you know, bits and pieces of skills. Now it's going to be the same situation though as this last year, where they're bringing in a lot of guys and they're going to have to, and they need time to get the team put together. And it's going to take an off season and then probably the entire non-conference schedule to get the team, you know, where Wayne would want it. And they didn't have that opportunity this last year, really. They didn't have much of an off season, and they certainly didn't have much of a non-conference schedule. So it took a good part of the conference schedule to get this team going to where Wayne wanted it to be. So I'm not saying something that no one else is saying. I mean, it'd be huge if they could parlay this last season with another, you know, NCAA tournament appearance. But I think anything close to that says they're on the right track. I mean, what they can't do is have what happened last time, which is go to the NCAA in 2016 and then go 5-27 the following year. I don't think that's going to happen, unless they had a bunch of injuries or something, which is what happened in 2017. I think, you know, things are looking up for Oregon State, but I don't want people to think that, you know, they're on their way to a Pac-12 title. I don't think that's here yet, but the program is getting incrementally better.
Dashiell, you know, it was probably December, and I thought Wayne Tinkle's not going to make it. Like, this is going to be it for him. And I think he's a good guy. He does it the right way, but he looked like he was fighting a losing fight. If he doesn't make the NCAA tournament, do you think Oregon State makes a change?
I don't think, I mean, given what happened in the Pac, you mean before the Pac-12 tournament?
Let's just say they don't get in, they don't win the Pac-12 tournament, they don't get a bid to the NCAA tournament. Was Oregon State poised to make a move on Wayne Tinkle?
I think that would have been a tough sell, just given, you know, the state of finances right now and everything. I mean, it wasn't like they were, I mean, they finished the season pretty well before the Pac-12 tournament. I think, I want to say they had 11 or 12 wins, something like that, before the Pac-12 tournament. I think they had 12. I mean, they were close to 500 without a non-conference schedule that, you know, didn't include, you know, a number of games that you would hope to win any year. I think that would have been a tough sell. I mean, would it have surprised me? I wouldn't have been totally surprised, but I just think Scott Barnes would have had a tough time selling that, you know, paying a guy off for $4 million and then going out and trying to find another guy unless he absolutely knew he had a slam dunk guy that he could bring in. But I don't think that was going to happen. I think there was some speculation, but I don't think it would have happened.
What about, you know, the health of Oregon State as an athletic department? You know, I think they're looking at, like most Pac-12 schools, a $30 million to $50 million net deficit because of the pandemic. They've got the Racer Stadium project kind of going, and that is really encouraging. But what the health of Oregon State athletics right now, healthier or less healthy than 4 or 5 years ago? What's your take on that?
Healthier than 4 or 5 years ago? I would say, I mean, that's a question you'd ask in about a year or so. You know, we don't know what kind of revenue they're going to be able to generate this upcoming year. That's going to, I mean, if they have another year where you know, they're not allowed to sell Research Stadium all the seats, and then we need to see who the commissioner is going to be, what kind of you know, TV package comes in. I just think there's too many things right now to say Oregon State's in great shape, bad shape, or somewhere in the middle. I don't think they're in terrible shape, but I think that answer can, you know, we can answer that question probably better in 12 to 18 months.
If football and men's basketball are the driving forces, I would say they're probably in better shape, but I'm concerned about, you know, what is the pandemic's role, and will Jonathan Smith and Wayne Tinkle continue on this trajectory, or was this just a blip up? Because we saw it with Gary Anderson. We've seen it before with Wayne Tinkle. As you mentioned, there needs to be a little consistency, doesn't there?
Yeah, we think Jonathan Smith's on the right track, but until you can get a team, I mean, that next step that they're trying to make is a big one. And a lot of teams, you know, get to this point, and then they can't make the next step. And, you know, you like to think Oregon State's on that track to getting back to where they can win 7, 8, 9 games in a lot of seasons and get the fans excited again and get the money rolling in again. But, you know, until we see it, we don't really know that. And basketball, same thing. Basketball is always going to be a little bit of a tough thing to sell season tickets. But, you know, if they keep winning, then, you know, that's more money they'll be able to bring in too. But with basketball, it's always still the NCAA tournament and the revenue they generate from that. So it's just as important for Oregon State in basketball as the Pac-12 is successful and keeps bringing in the big checks from the NCAA like this last year.
Nick Daschle, spitting truth. Appreciate you, my friend.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
I told Oregon State I'd mention this tomorrow.
Yeah.
If you go to the scrimmage from 9 to 1, they're also offering a drop-in vaccine right at Parker Plaza right in front of Research Stadium. So if you haven't been vaccinated yet and you want to, you can drop in there and anytime between 9 and 1 and get a shot.
It's awesome. Love that.
Yeah.
So anytime between 9 and 1.
9 and 1, the local health, the Samaritan Health and Oregon State, they're putting this together. So, yeah, you don't need to make an appointment. You just drop in, pull up your sleeve, and get jabbed.
There it is. I also think, you know, you go do the, you know, you go get, do that, and then you go to the scrimmage.
Yep, then you can put a smile on your face in a couple ways.
Scrimmage is free, by the way, to fans. And how will they do that? They're limiting capacity to 15%, so it's first come, first serve, I guess, huh?
About 6,500. I mean, they've never really been all that close to that number anyway for a spring scrimmage. You know, I'll be surprised if they have to shut the door, but
they might. They might.
But you never. I mean, you just never know. People haven't been to a football game down there in almost 2 years. So, I mean, who knows? The weather's, you know, is okay tomorrow. It's not rainy. It's not going to be sunny. But yeah, who knows? It'd be nice. It'd be nice if they had to close the gate. Well, I mean, maybe they wouldn't think so, but at least that'd mean there's definitely some interest there.
I'm going to be the hype guy that's going to say they're going to have to close the gate. 6,500 people, go see football at Research Stadium, bring your kids, make them close the gates. Nick Daschle, appreciate you.
All right, we'll see you.
All right, there. Daschle bringing the spitting the truth and bringing the heat. Coming up, we're going to talk to former Oregon State tight end Tim Juhas, who went on to the NFL. He's a man of the world. He's got kids in youth sports. Stick around for that coming up, bottom of the hour. I never quite know where this radio show is going to go. I do know that Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. Take care of the moms in your life. And I'm going to give dads out there a little bit of advice. Look, if you're a dad who's got young kids, you may look over at your wife and go, well, that's not my mother. I shouldn't be doing anything for her. That the kids should be doing something for her. I will just, as a public service announcement, encourage you to show your kids how to treat their mother on Mother's Day. So as a PSA, show your kids, take a moment today or tomorrow, tell your kids, here, what we're going to do, we're going to sit down, you're going to write your mom a little note, you're going to write her a happy Mother's Day, you're going to draw her a picture, whatever it is, then we're going to go out and we're going to get some flowers or we're going to get something for mom. I know she's not your mom, she's their mom, but model for them. Model for them. I got dads who are telling me, well, that's not my mom, I got my mom a card. But show your kids. You need to model it for your kids. That's a public service announcement. And your wife will thank you for it, for showing them how to treat their mother on Mother's Day. So Mother's Day coming up over the weekend. I'm never surprised when this show floats off into some direction that I don't expect. Pete in San Diego apparently has been listening to the show today in a float tank, and he's called in. Pete, what is a float tank and what are you doing?
Haven't you ever floated where you go into the Epsom salt and mineral water float tanks and relax? It takes all the toxins and float. It's the greatest thing I've ever done in my life. And it's better than a massage. And they're all over everywhere. There's a place in North of the 23rd I used to go to. It's $40 for an hour and a half. You go in there in your birthday suit. You lay in the dark. I listen to Sports Talk Radio and you just chill. It's phenomenal.
Wait.
Talk about a great present for your wife for Mother's Day, for the Mama's Day. Get them a float tank.
Wait a minute. You're,
I know,
you're,
John, you're getting Anna a Dyson dryer from the...
No.
I know you've got that covered.
No, I don't have that covered. But wait a minute. I want to know more about this. Okay, so you're in there. You're in the dark. I get that. That's relaxing. You're floating in like a bathtub? Or how big is this tank?
Yeah, the thing's about 5 feet wide by eight and a half feet long, and you can leave the lid open if you want. If you're claustrophobic, or you can leave a light on. I prefer. I've been doing it for about 4 years. I discovered it because I was watching the NBA Today Show, and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson were doing it. So I thought, whoa, geez, I've got chronic pain.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.